This is Focus West Michigan for Friday, September 4, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki with your local news. Gloria Steinem, the feminist icon who passed away on Wednesday at age 92, has a West Michigan connection. WGVU's Dee Morrison tells us about the impact Steinem had on a Grand Rapids women's organization.
In November of 1992, following the election of President Bill Clinton, Ms. Steinem spoke to a sold-out audience at Fountain Street Church, specifically for an event raising funds for the YWCA.
Michelle Rabideau is board president of YWCA West Central Michigan, which is commemorating Gloria Steinem's Grand Rapids visit and her transformative impact on social justice, gender equality, and women's rights.
That time was such an inspiring moment in our organization's history, and it really elevated our YWCA's role as a leading voice for women's rights and gender equity in West Michigan.
Rabideau notes the legacy of Steinem's visit.
It just helped the YWCA identify as that strong female organization. It strengthened our public leadership on issues affecting women and girls. It really sparked us as the voice for so many issues affecting women and girls.
In 1984, Steinem famously interviewed former First Lady Betty Ford of Grand Rapids, who spoke candidly about her breast cancer diagnosis and desire to destigmatize screenings to save women's lives. Both women were prominent supporters of women's rights and the 1970s feminist movement. I'm Dee Morrison.
A lender for Muskegon's Adelaide Point is attempting to foreclose on a portion of the waterfront development. Its owner has asked a judge to step in. WGVU's David Limbaugh has the details.
Ludington-based West Shore Bank is attempting to foreclose on two spaces within Adelaide Point, housing Muskegon Brewing Company and Adelaide Events. The bank is claiming that Adelaide Point developer Ryan Leistma's companies owe more than $7 million in debt. Court documents filed with the U.S. Bankruptcy Court, Middle District of Florida, show West Shore Bank issued a $6.6 million promissory note in February 2024 and a $500,000 promissory note in April 2025. The bank is expecting to foreclose on September 18th. On August 20th, Leistma's attorney filed an emergency motion asking the court to enforce or extend an automatic stay as the companies continue with bankruptcy proceedings, arguing the foreclosure would strip the debtors of the value of their ownership interest in the building by eliminating any revenue streams tied to the Adelaide Point development. In April, Leistma filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy and reached a settlement with Independent Bank that would allow the entities involved with the project to focus on wrapping up bankruptcy proceedings, including construction of the 34 remaining condo units, which, once completed, are expected to generate $27 to $32 million in sales. I'm David Limbaugh.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer has declared September as Preparedness Month in Michigan. This comes on the heels of historic spring severe weather, tornadoes, and flooding. Many communities are still recovering. WGVU's Jennifer Moss reports state officials are encouraging residents to be prepared.
With the declaration of Preparedness Month in Michigan, Michigan State Police, along with the Emergency Management and Homeland Security Division, are encouraging residents to take steps to complete an emergency preparedness plan. Colonel James F. Grady II, Director of the MSP and State Director of Emergency Management and Homeland Security, says, quote, "The past year has reminded us that disasters can impact any Michigan community at any time." He adds, "While we can't prevent every emergency, we can prepare for them," end quote. This campaign emphasizes the importance of returning to the basics of preparedness and encourages the public to take steps and key actions to prepare for any disaster, including knowing the different types of emergencies and appropriate responses to stay safe, making a family emergency plan, and building an emergency kit. Throughout the month of September, state police and other state agencies are joining federal, state, and local governments in supporting emergency preparedness initiatives. You can find out more information about being prepared at michigan.gov/miready. I'm Jennifer Moss.
A Grand Rapids man faces charges for sexual abuse targeting children in West Michigan. As WGVU's Dee Morrison reports, he worked at two local daycares, including one at Grand Valley State University.
Michigan State Police say the case against 20-year-old Austin Hapner began when Homeland Security received a tip from Norwegian investigators about sexually abusive videos posted online. Detectives identified Hapner and found he previously worked at Grow Child Care Academy in Grand Rapids and was employed at the Children's Veterans Enrichment Center on Grand Valley State University's Allendale campus. Spokesperson Chris Knapp says the university is cooperating with the ongoing police investigation.
The entire community's hearts are broken, and our first priority is making sure that we care for the families and all those who are affected by this. You know, these are some horrific crimes, and the university is offering its full support to the victims.
Knapp says Hapner was a GVSU student who enrolled this fall and was hired in June to work at the child care center, which serves primarily faculty, staff, and students.
It very close. These are our friends, these are our neighbors, these are our colleagues, and it's a difficult time.
GVSU president Philomena Mantella stated the center is closed, allowing staff and families time to process. Authorities stress Hapner's employment does not confirm abuse occurred at those daycares, but investigators are examining all past interactions for additional victims. I'm Dee Morrison.
A group of Grand Rapids pro-immigrant activists are taking matters into their own hands by drafting an ordinance targeting ICE and police surveillance. As WGVU's David Limbaugh tells us, they'll be presenting it to the City Commission later this month.
It all come together to now have something tangible because the city is reluctant to move forward.
Hema Lowe is a community organizer with the Grand Rapids chapter of pro-immigrant group Movimiento Cosecha. She says after a year and a half of the city refusing to declare itself a sanctuary city, the group has drafted an ordinance they will present to the City Commission in the hopes that it will be passed.
Preventing the GRPD from collaborating with ICE, prohibit GRPD from detaining people on civil immigration warrants, prevent ICE from carrying out civil arrests and city properties.
The group also wants the city to ban all automated license plate readers, including flock cameras. The Grand Rapids Police Department has consistently stated it does not coordinate or participate with ICE activities, and only provides crowd control at the request of the federal agency. While the city, as well as Kent County, have stated they have no plans to declare Grand Rapids a sanctuary city.
Since the city commissioners and the mayor are not acting, they need to feel the public pressure so they move forward.
The group plans to present the ordinance to city commissioners by September 22nd. I'm David Limbaugh.
Coming up soon, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf has the preview of this weekend's new films, but first, news from around the state. Michigan and several other mostly Democratic-led states are suing the federal government over a new rule blocking Medicaid from covering children's gender-affirming care. Colin Jackson has more.
The rule applies to treatment for low-income minors and 18-year-olds covered under Medicaid and the Children's Health Insurance Program, known as CHIP. Michigan and the other states argued the federal government doesn't have the power to tell states which services they can and cannot provide under their Medicaid and CHIP programs. The federal government has said its rule doesn't stop states from providing gender-affirming treatment with their own money. Rather, it says the rule stops the federal government from reimbursing states for the cost of that care. I'm Colin Jackson.
Consumers Energy says a new statewide energy supply strategy unveiled on Thursday will create jobs and save ratepayers' money. Under their new energy supply plan, consumers will generate more energy from natural gas, solar, and wind. The plan, they say, will keep costs from rising faster than an inflation rate of 3%. They plan on making upgrades to existing industrial sites in Genesee and Bay counties to produce natural gas and solar power. Chris Foltz is with Consumers. He says the plan will help the region.
That will bring jobs. It will bring tax base. And as we know, the tax base will also bring help to roads and schools and everything that those communities depend on.
The plan still needs approval from the Michigan Public Service Commission. Focus West Michigan is made for all, powered by you. To support this show and everything we do here, visit WGVUnews.org and click the donate button. And for a weekly dose of news right to your inbox, sign up for the WGVU newsletter. Today, WGVU's Scott Vanderwerf and Zach Righetti from Studio C talk about this week's new movies, including Onslaught, By Any Means, Fall 2, and the cartoon Tom and Jerry Forbidden Compass, plus the 20th anniversary of Cars.
And By All Means opening, which is a civil rights era a crime drama taking place in the South. It's based on true events. What can you tell us about this, Zach?
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg's in this, and Abdul Mateen the second is in this as well. He's sort of this young black FBI agent who sort of gets partnered with organized crime, mafia, killer, hitman. You know, Mark Wahlberg's character essentially solve all of these string of murders of these civil rights leaders going on, in 1966. And sort of this, based on true story, action thriller. It genuinely looks like I love when we get stories like this on the screen, because I feel like I get invested into learning more about, you know, sort of the reality of them and, you know, what took place. And but at the same time, like, the movie genuinely looks like a good movie too at the same time. So, you know, and to have both of those together is just a fun time. And even the sort of like buddy, not comedy, but just like sort of the buddy part of it, where, like, you know, the two of them having to kind of work together, coming from two different backgrounds, two different sort of careers, and sort of, you know, how they sort of come together to solve the mystery. And so, yeah, I think that's just sort of what I am looking forward to enjoying about this.
Also, we have Onslaught, which is an action sci-fi film.
Yeah, this is coming from A24. Adam Ringard is coming back for this. He directed Godzilla X Kong and Godzilla vs. Kong, but then also is kind of calling this the closing chapter of a loose trilogy between his movie The Guest and Your Next. But yeah, essentially there's like this squad of genetically engineered super soldiers that break out of a, you know, lab in New Mexico, and this sort of former army sniper, in order to protect her daughter, is essentially going to unleash everything she can against all of these guys to, you know, protect her daughter. And so it just, this is the type of like action thriller where, you know, these super soldiers are going to be probably terrifying, you know, and kill a bunch of people in their way, in their path, and she's going to have to be the one to kind of stop them, but, and sort of maybe even uncover another mystery within, you know, the facility and sort of like what's going on there. But yeah, I mean, it's coming from A24, so it's got that, you know, flavor to it. And yeah, it's a good film.
And then also we have Fall 2, which is the sequel to Fall, and it's a thriller about being afraid of heights, which I can relate to, because I've had a fear of heights at times in my life. I really actually haven't experienced it as an adult. It was really more when I was a child that I would do things like climb up gigantic slides and then get to the top and not want to come back down. And that was, you know, in a childhood aspect. But here you have adults who have a fear of heights, and inevitably they're very, very high.
Yeah, and the first one was sort of this, you know, it sort of came out in theaters and released, and then I don't think it really had much traction then. It was, I think it might have even been closer to a pandemic movie too, as far as release date. But it kind of grew in viral sensation online and, like, you know, through, you know, people watching it at home and stuff. But yeah, the first one centers around essentially these two girls who, you know, sort of in the middle of the desert and climb up on this like radio tower, and they end up like getting stuck up high and through a storm, and sort of like the willingness to like figure out how they're going to get down and also try and survive, and, you know, nature, Mother Nature kind of coming in and, you know, affecting all of that. And so this just sort of like, you know, if you're making a sequel to something like that, you have to kind of, you know, turn the knob a little bit. So it is, it feels like a direct sequel. There's, it looks like there's potentially some connections between, you know, the actress that's in this movie to potentially one of the actresses in the last movie, and, you know, whether they're sisters or relatives or just friends. And, but her and her friend decide that, you know, they need to live a little bit, and they go to Thailand, and they book an excursion on essentially the most dangerous path ever around this mountain, where, you know, even if it rains, the wood, the small little bit of wood that's hanging on the mountainside, you know, becomes very slippery. And then, you know, you've got to slowly navigate around the terrain. And of course, you know, things aren't probably going to go well, and they're going to probably get stuck somewhere on this mountain. And then, you know, that's where your fear of heights kicks in, and they're going to have to, you know, eventually try and get out, which again is exactly what the first one was. But that's what people love about these movies. And, you know, they make we'll have horror films about whatever. If you're afraid of heights, we've got this for you. So, yeah.
We also have an infusion of nostalgia here. We've got an anniversary for a film that wasn't out that long ago to my mind, but it was for, I am sure, a lot of people. But then also the return of Tom and Jerry, the classic cartoon characters, in a film called Forbidden Compass. Tom and Jerry, Forbidden Compass. Now, this is a new animated story for Tom and Jerry, correct?
It is. And it also is sort of adapting, you know, obviously Tom and Jerry is, you know, was the 2D animation style, and, you know, probably also hand-drawn. But now we've got sort of the 3D, you know, Tom and Jerry animation style renderings of, you know, these beloved characters in this film. And essentially, you know, classic Tom and Jerry fashion, you know, they sort of, between fighting, find themselves in the midst of something entirely different. And so, you know, Tom is a security guard at a museum, and Jerry's just going in to try and enjoy the museum. And that leads to, you know, a cat and mouse chase. And then they essentially stumble upon the Forbidden Compass, which I think sort of melds time and potentially transports them somewhere else. And, you know, sort of creates this cosmic effect that now they have to sort of join forces or just figure out how they're going to solve it or just sort of create chaos in their path. And so, yeah, it's classic Tom and Jerry. And, you know, I think people who love Tom and Jerry love this. And then I think it's just fun to bring in the next generation of Tom and Jerry lovers.
Also, Cars, the animated film from 20 years ago, is getting its anniversary.
Which is crazy to think that Cars hit theaters 20 years ago. And just what such a cultural sensation it's kind of been. And if you know anything about, I feel like it just... Cars more recently, I feel like, has just gained such of this like random, you know, sort of like viral sensation online of like either people making memes about it or like, you know, reliving it. Or I even like videos of talking about like, you know, the Cars 3 trailer when, you know, McQueen is like tumbling over the camera and the teaser in slow motion. And there's even like the viral TikTok that's like, you know, this crazy, you know, watch out for this crazy strike of lightning. And it's like just, you know, someone panning across nature. And then all of a sudden there's just Lightning McQueen, you know, flies by, past the screen and goes ka-chow. And like, I don't know. It's just like, this is one of those movies that I think just is amazing and people love it. And I think it's got just fun little things. And it's just going to be fun to go sit back in a theater and rewatch it, I feel like, for the 20th anniversary.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us for this Holiday Friday, Zach.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
This has been Focus West Michigan from WGVU for Friday, September 4, 2026. I'm Joe Bilecki. Our audio operations manager is Rick Bierling, and our news and public affairs director is Patrick Center. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back with more news and events in West Michigan on Tuesday. Thanks for listening.